Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. This is your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is my good friend, Father Antonio Carbajo, a priest of the Diocese of Columbus. We're continuing our conversation on discipleship. Today, I think in particular, we're going to talk a little bit about Our Lady and her role as a model for disciples. But let's begin with a prayer in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all of those examples, those models of discipleship that you have given us in the course of our lives and in the course of the history of the church. We thank you especially for Our Lady. Teach us the lessons that we need to learn in discipleship this day. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Father, where are you from?
Yes, from heaven and earth.
Heaven and earth. You've got a foot in each.
Yes, I always say that it was made in Portugal, born in Brazil. I was raised there, and then I was 20 years old when I joined the seminary in São Paulo. But after my philosophical courses and studies, I was sent to Italy to study theology. So I studied there, lived there for almost 11 years. And then after 7 years of my ordination, I was sent to the United States. I had been in the country before, but I was sent to the United States to work with, to do my pastoral work, humbly speaking, knowing some languages, so just to use the idioms that I'm capable to communicate, which are English, Portuguese, and also Spanish.
And you ended up in the Columbus area because you were working on a degree in Mariology,
exactly.
In the study of Our Lady.
Yes, exactly. It was something really very interesting because when I first came to the United States as a priest, I'm talking about as a priest, something happened. I was sent to another state to work in the program created by Pope Pius XII. This program is called the Fide Dono, where you're a member of a diocese but sent elsewhere to work, to be in that place serving for some time. And I was supposed to stay just 2 years there, but I stayed. Okay, it ended up that I stayed 5 years. But at the end, I said, okay, I think I need a little time for me. So I wanted to have like a month for myself, and I discovered the beautiful Library of Mariology in Dayton, Ohio. So I came to see the library, but right after, the Lord has his plans. So I was invited to pursue my studies. I had already my degree in dogmatics, and they asked me if I was willing to also proceed my studies in Mariology. I said, "Well, this seems to be wonderful, but let us place in the hands of my bishop." So that's the way that worked. So I came to Columbus, and for 3 years I was 4 days of the week in Columbus, 3 days in Dayton, pursuing my degree in Mariology.
And then here you are.
And here I am, yes.
You decided to make Columbus your permanent home.
Yes. Yeah, the Lord led through this way. I'm very happy to serve the people of Columbus in all the ways.
So we can attribute it to Our Lady in some ways.
Yes. Our Lady has a big impact in my life from the very beginning of my existence.
And she, there's so much that we can say about Our Lady, but primarily we call her the first and the model disciple.
Yes. Yes, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Let's say that when you talk about prayer, we say prayer is an encounter with God. But God is one God in three persons, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And God himself wanted, as the book of Proverbs says, he built a house for him. Wisdom built a house. And this is part of God's creation. God made one person totally pure, because from this person, he was take blood and flesh, and this person is the Blessed Virgin Mary. So he made her totally pure, totally beautiful, and at the same time, Mary cooperated totally with the work of God. She herself was interiorly, day by day, pondering her heart, transformed by the Word, which was her Son. And that's why she stands as a perfect model for all of us.
So I think if we can flesh this out a bit, no pun intended, but, you know, one, so she's a model, which I, this, you know, I think I have heard this before, but it's good to reflect on more. And it kind of strikes me as, first of all, Mary's a model of discipleship in her purity, and in the fact that the Lord has created her pure, you know, through her immaculate conception and everything. But the idea that as disciples in baptism, the Lord creates us with this beauty, you know, the beauty of our baptism.
Yes, yes, indeed. As we know, this is a relationship between the Blessed Virgin Mary and us, which I think, well, the Vatican II, where with the document with the Constitution, Lumen Gentium, Chapter 8, showed clearly the Blessed Virgin Mary, her relationship with God and with us, means with Christ and with us. So yes, she was chosen by God to be the mother of our Savior, and she cooperated totally with his work for our salvation. And that's why we ourselves were created by God. God wanted us to be totally pure, without, St. Paul says, we are predestined Christ to be without sin, and to be in charity, to be perfect, to be to achieve our vocation, which is to live in perfect communion with God. And but okay, we have the consequence of original sin, and in baptism we are totally purified. And Mary is our mother, and she stands as a model how to live the promises, our commitment of Christians, of children of God, baptized in his love, in his mystery.
If you're tuning in to us now, this is Conversations on Discipleship. This is your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me is Father Antonio Carvajo, a priest of the Diocese of Columbus. And we've been talking about Our Lady as a model of discipleship. And the other another point that you make in this is that Mary is a model disciple because she cooperates with her son. And she, of course, we know she cooperates uniquely, just like her purity, her beauty is unique. You know, none of us are immaculately conceived, and none of us get out of this life, you know, completely and absolutely free from sin.
You know, Father Adam, this is very interesting because in the fathers of the church, we have already Saint Irenaeus, who calls Mary the new Eve. Well, here I'd like to bring up something that Pope John Paul II, the great Saint Paul II, said. The word, and this has to be very clear, he called for seven times the Blessed Virgin Mary co-redemptrix. We know the church today, based on ecumenical dialogue, does not want to declare any new dogma, but the point is that the church does not want to create more difficulties that others from other professions of faith could be in communion with us with more things, adding things to be believed. But when we say it's not a dogma, it is in the doctrine of the church. So if we say that the Blessed Virgin, as Vatican II said on Lumen Gentium 56-58, she cooperated with Christ totally for our salvation, the knot of Eve's disobedience was untied by Mary's obedience. What the Virgin Eve bound through her unbelief, the Virgin Mary loosened by her faith. So standing at the foot of the cross, she was cooperating with the work of her son. And being without sin means being redeemed by her son in her immaculate conception. She was cooperating with him to obtain the fullness of redemption.
So, you know, as disciples, you know, following Mary's model, we know that we're supposed to cooperate with Christ. But one of the unique ways, and really the unique way, you know, the important way that Our Lady cooperates with her son is in his suffering, you know, in the cross, which, of course, we as disciples also are called to take up our crosses and follow the Lord, in a sense, to be united to the Lord's suffering. How is Mary a model for us in suffering?
Well, I'd like to quote the words of the apostolic letter Salvifici Dolores from John Paul II from February 11th. As you know, February 11th, the Day of Our Lady of Lourdes, became 28 years already, the World Day of Prayer for the Sick. And St. John Paul II says, "It is especially consoling to note, and also accurate in accordance with the gospel and history, that the side of Christ in the first and most exalted place, there is always his mother through the exemplary testimony that she bears by her whole life to this particular gospel of suffering. In her, the many and intense sufferings were amassed in such an interconnected way that they were not only a proof of her unshakable faith, but also a contribution to the redemption of all." And that's why he says, for all of us, she stands as a model of compassion for those who are suffering and cooperating with Christ, offering themselves to Christ, with Christ, to the Father, in order that the words of St. Paul will be accomplished in their lives. "I complete my flesh, what is lacking in the passion of Christ, for the sickness of his church."
Amen. Well, let's end with a prayer on that note. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, form us to be like Our Lady, true models of Christ your Son. We ask this through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen. And this has been Conversations on Discipleship with your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. And with me today is Father Antonio Carvajo. Until next time, peace and all good.